God helps those who help themselves. Is that your life philosophy? Hello everyone, I'm McDaniel Phillips and welcome to Times of Refreshing. This is a brand new program produced by Bethesda Hall in partnership with Trans World Radio, or TWR Asia. Times of Refreshing features the comments of itinerant speaker Kenneth Wong. Now, he's a regular speaker in many churches, conferences, and camps, and his ministry has wide appeal to both young and old. Ken is a Singapore native and will share ideas for your personal reflection each weekday on this station. Now, conventional wisdom says God helps those who help themselves. That bit of homespun philosophy begs the question of whether it is possible for any of us to help God with anything. In a few moments, Ken will challenge our minds with some thoughts on repentance.
Hello, everyone. I'm Kenneth Wong. It's really good to be with you wherever you are. I would really like to warmly welcome each one of you in particular. Well, we all have one thing in common here today. We're all here for the first time. You know, I've looked forward with eager anticipation to this day for a long time. And there's been much hard work put in by many people in preparation for the run-up to this day. So I feel like welcoming you to a new house, you know, give you a brief show around, and it's still not fully furnished with the smell of fresh paint in the air. But I'm sure it will get cozier over the days and the weeks to come. This is a daily time where we come together to be mentally and spiritually refreshed by drinking from the well of God's Word. And you know, God's Word, that is the Bible, is not just a historical book or a book of good sayings. It's a living word. So each time we spend reflecting and reading the Word of God, we get replenished and strengthened for the new day. God always has something for everyone, whoever you are. And wherever you are, or whatever you may be doing, my prayer is that you will not only receive gems of truth during the program, but you will be able to take away with you some deposit of truth to mull over for the day. Let me just briefly say a couple of things about what this program is about. Our aim is to provide biblically informed perspectives through Bible teaching, and thereby to produce biblically transformed lives. For those of you who may be familiar with the Bible, this may be a supplemental diet for you. But for others who may be new to it, this will be a new diet, and we trust in time to come will be a main diet for your spiritual sustenance. So there we are. Are we ready to roll now? I would like to start today with the text and the title of our program, which is found in the book of Acts in the New Testament. This is in Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Let me read that to you. It says, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." So that is where we have got the title of this program from. It's not just a nice phrase, it's a biblical phrase. So I think this is a good and logical place to begin, because it talks about the starting point of a new life with God. Now let's get back to the beginning of this chapter to get the context for this particular verse. In fact, this is one of the ways we should read our Bibles contextually. In other words, we read the verses preceding it and maybe some verses proceeding from it so that we get the full picture of what the whole setting is all about. In the previous chapter 2 of Acts, we find the record of the birth of the New Testament church. And chapter 3 begins with a very interesting episode involving the apostles Peter and John. Let me read verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. That's 3 o'clock in the afternoon in the Jewish day. So there was a certain hour that this happened. And we find in verse 2, a certain man at a certain place. Verse 2 reads, "And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms, that is to beg, from those who entered the temple." Now for this man who is lame from birth, this is just another routine day. Somebody carried him there. He spent the day there begging, hoping that it will be a good day, and he went home. That was his station in life, and this was his daily spot. Now, isn't this just like what could be happening now? This very hour of broadcast could find you at your particular spot or station in life, where you find yourself going to the same place or doing the same thing routinely every day of your life. You could be commuting, driving in the car, or taking the public transport. You could be having a meal. You could be doing chores. You could be working at a shift, studying for an exam. You could be in hospital. You may be in prison. So you're a certain person at a certain place, but at this certain hour, tuning in, and God has something to say to you, and He has something in store for you which you may not realize. Let's continue reading from the story in verse 3. "Now this man, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, 'Look at us.' Verse 5. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them." We see here Peter and John inviting the attention of the lame man to what God has in store. And in turn, the lame man gave his whole attention to what they had to say to him, with an expectation to receive. So in the same way, I am asking you to please listen up and give your whole attention to what God has to say, because you may get more than what you expect. That's God's way of doing things often. He surprises us. Reading on in verse 6, "Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you.'" Now, isn't this interesting? Peter did not offer the man what he wanted, but what he needed. And often God does the same. The layman thought, if only Peter gave me a buck and John gave me another buck, that would be nice. And if each of them gave 10 bucks, wow, that would really make my day. But little did he know that there was something much more wonderful that he could ever imagine or dare ask for. Continuing in verse 6, this is what Peter said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." So God did something special. This is the record of the first miraculous healing in the early church. He got the biggest break he could ever dream of, and he went home whole and healed, never needing to return to this same spot again to beg. And he was healed through hearing God's word through his servants. I'm entitling this talk, "Give Me a Break," because it may echo an inward longing and cry in going through another tough day for some of you. You know, sometimes we just get tired of the treadmill of life. You get weary of wandering around in circles. You feel like being stuck in a rut. And by the way, that's a good place to arrive at, because something must die before new life can be given. Something must end before a new beginning can happen. So you may be sensing a need for change, needing a break, wanting a breath of fresh air. And just like this lame man who was healed in Acts chapter 3, you may not realize that your biggest break lies in the hands of God. Reading on in verse 7, "And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him." At this, Peter began to speak to them about Jesus Christ, whom they had delivered up to be crucified on the cross recently. And coming down to verse 16, he said, "And his name," that is the name of Jesus, "through faith in his name has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." They may have done what they did in the past out of ignorance, but their continued rejection and disbelief in Jesus was no longer tenable, and especially now that this has happened right before their very eyes. They had no excuse to continue merely as onlookers and spectators from a distance. It wasn't just watching something happening to a lame man, but it pointed to their own desperate need to be delivered and to be saved. They may not be lame or destitute in body, but they were spiritually impotent and impoverished and needing God's deliverance. So this is the first thing I want us to notice. It's the restoring of God. It was a new day. It's a day of restoration for this man. And in fact, down in verse 21, it talks about times of restoration for all things in a future day, in a larger sense. That's restoring, and that's God's part. Now this leads us to verse 19, which is our text. And this verse spells out the response required by God for us and for all the rest of them who were in the audience. Now let's get back to this verse which we have already read. But the first word that we come across is "repent, therefore." Now what I want to do is to walk you through a few key Bible words that occur in this text. And the first word here is repentance. So from restoring, we next move on to consider repenting. The first important response that is required of us is repentance, not resolution. Resolution rests on my own efforts and determination to put things right, and that is never enough to save myself. Now, this is the opposite to conventional wisdom. We hear it often said, God helps those who help themselves. And by the way, this is not in the Bible. It's not one of the Ten Commandments. On the contrary, God helps those who are utterly helpless to help themselves. The basis of repentance is what God alone can do for us and what He has done for us. And that is to pluck me out of my own helpless and hopeless condition of sin. I'll be talking a little bit more about the important subject of sin in part 2 of this message tomorrow. In the meantime, let's go back to this important Bible word, repent. The biblical meaning of repent is really to have another mind. So in other words, it's a change of mind, to have a different mindset or attitude. Now this is more than just a feeling of remorse, which is a very different thing. To just feel sorry about the wrong that has been done or for yourself. Always remember that we can never directly produce or control feelings. Feelings are the outcome of faith, which has to be based on facts. But of course, repentance can be accompanied by a true sense of being sorry but we recognize that this is the consequence rather than the cause. So, to have another mind is something we can do, because we have the ability to choose and to decide with our minds and our wills. This does not refer to the fickle or frivolous kind of changing our minds. To repent is to discard, to abandon my own old attitudes and beliefs. And in their place, I now agree with what God says. I accept God's definition and explanation concerning sin and salvation, concerning death and life. I begin to change my attitude and mindset toward God and toward Jesus Christ, because I'm now beginning to see and to understand things which I did not previously. And we can only do this meaningfully when we begin to understand and align our thinking with God's. And how is this done? It's through the Bible, which is God's inspired and ordained means of communicating His word and will to us. So this is why most of our talks are Bible-based. Biblical repentance can only take place on the basis of biblical revelation. It's not an arbitrary change of mind. It has to be a scripturally informed one. Now next, related to repentance, I want you to notice the close connection with faith. We have already read about this in verse 16, where Peter said it's faith in His name, in the name of Jesus that healed the man. You see, the call of repentance is always to faith in the gospel, faith in Christ. When Jesus first started out His public ministry, we read in the Gospel of Mark, the first chapter, in verse 15, this is what He said, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand." And notice this, "Repent and believe in the gospel." You see, we need to believe in order to receive. Faith is that which enables us to take hold of. Faith obtains. Now, this close connection between faith and repentance is also brought out by Paul. In Acts chapter 20, we read about Paul's farewell address to the elders of the church in Ephesus when he met them in a place called Miletus. And he said in Acts chapter 20, verse 20 to 21, "How I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught to you publicly and from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks." And here it is, "Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." It cannot be clearer than that. Faith and repentance go hand in hand. In repenting, I renounce my own preconceptions and prejudices that I may have had concerning Christ and Christianity. And in believing, I receive God's provision for sin and for salvation. In repenting, I turn from my own sin, and in believing, I turn to God's salvation. Let me encourage you to act immediately on what God has spoken to you today. We haven't come to the end of the message. We'll deal with more things in part two tomorrow. But from what we have discussed about the restoring hand of God and the need for me to repent, you can do something about it. You don't need to know everything there is to know about sin and salvation before you can act on it. But you can act immediately on the one or two things that God has brought to your attention. You may not be fully aware of the spiritual state and condition you're in. You may think that you need something, or you lack something, or you're looking for something, but God has something more to give. He can heal and restore you through hearing the Word of God. So let me encourage you to respond by faith and repentance. You can say to God, and that is what a simple prayer is, say to Him, "I have heard you, and I believe in what you have said. And now, I want to have another mind. I want to change my mind according to what your word has said, so that you can restore me and I can get up a changed person. And may you continue to be refreshed by the Lord's presence and to be reached by His word.
God does not help those who help themselves. Instead, God helps those who are utterly helpless to help themselves. So what do you think? Maybe it's something you can talk about with your family. Well, I invite you to join us tomorrow when Ken talks about faith and repentance as two sides of the same coin of conversion in part two of this program. In the meantime, we'd like to hear from you, and there are a variety of ways for you to contact us. You can send a text message to 94313813, or an email to info@timesofrefreshing.asia, or send snail mail to Post Office Box 392, Thompson Road Post Office, Singapore, 915714. I also invite you to visit our website, www.timesofrefreshing.asia, for more information. I'm McDaniel Phillips, inviting you to join us again for Times of Refreshing.